Well, amen to that. It's good to be here this morning.
Yeah, yes.
As Danny said, we certainly do want to welcome you all here.
Yeah.
Christ sanctified Holy Church.
Amen.
And to this day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Before we go any further, I want us to sing something together. I don't know why this just kind of rings true this morning. Maybe it's because the weather is so nice, but it's song number 96. Walking in sunlight all of my journey.
Oh,
shadows around me and shadows above me never conceal my Savior and God.
Amen.
For He is the light, and in Him is no darkness. And wherever I'm walking, close to His side. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning?
Amen.
That we have. And we can have that heavenly sunlight. I ask you all to pray for me as I read. I feel very, very small in this pulpit this morning. We had such a beautiful lesson last night. The sister read for us the story of Jonah. What an inspiring message that is of how we should be obedient to God. And that He can deliver if we will only be obedient.
Yes.
I'll share a little bit with you. I want to talk a bit history about our church, and I beg your indulgence in that regard. I'll try to be very brief, but this is our 128th anniversary, and I think it's important that we remember where we came from. As some of you know, and I've talked to several of you, we are in the process in our home of downsizing. Jerry and I have been married for over 50 years. We've been in the same house for 25, and you can imagine what we have collected. And my wife, bless her heart, has saved everything, just about. And I don't mean that in a negative way. So we have been over Laurie has, and I have to some degree. I'm a snatch and grab and head to the dump kind of guy. But we have been going through things piece by piece. Excuse me, I don't want to get emotional here. And as we run through, maybe this child drew this, or here's a photograph of where we went, or remember this meeting, oh, remember this camp meeting. Remember, look at... Oh, how much we changed. Good gracious. It has become a reminder of where we have been. And a more of a reminder of where we are and how God has led. That is what's important.
Yeah.
We'll leave all of those mementos behind someday. But what a joy it has been, and sometimes a sorrow, to look at some of those precious things as a reminder. So I want to talk a little bit today about reminders, particularly in our church and in the gospel. I want to read to you briefly here in the fourth chapter of Joshua. Joshua is just before leading the children of Israel over the River Jordan. It had become his responsibility after the death of Moses to take this group of people over the River Jordan. So we start reading in the first verse of the fourth chapter of Joshua. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe of man, and command them, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So they did. Picked up the ark, went across the Jordan with these stones. The sixth verse says, and this is why we're doing this, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask, what meaneth these stones? in time to come. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel, for a memorial. And the scripture on down says, the ninth verse, and Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there unto this day. They are there unto this day. Now, whether they are physically there unto this day, I don't know. But at the time this was writing, they were there as a reminder of what God has done.
Yes.
So I'd like to kind of give you a reminder of how we got where we are today. As a sister said last night, the church of God was born at Pentecost.
That's right. That's
right. Do we all feel that way?
Yes.
It was born at Pentecost.
Yeah.
And the message of sanctification and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was at their core.
Yeah. Amen. First.
And I believe it has been preached just that way since that day.
Yeah.
Now, how well it's been preached, how well it's been adhered to, I don't know. As she said last night, if you were to look at the doctrinal positions for a lot of the mainstream churches in the world today, you probably will find the doctrine of sanctification. Entire sanctification. Entire sanctification, meaning an immediate indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not a gradual, not a move through life to obtain it, but an immediate indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I just believe there have been people who, throughout history, who have read this word and applied it to their hearts.
Yes.
And have lived a life before God as He would have been pleased.
Yes.
More importantly, in this country, in this 17th, 18th century, this doctrine of sanctification became more pronounced. During the Civil War period, along both before and after the Civil War, it was such that people were holding outdoor meetings, camp meeting types, in the summer for the promotion of sanctification.
Yeah.
The hope was to take that doctrinal position back to their mainstream church and have it become a part of their preaching. And have people to be sanctified.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that did not happen. So as a result, several churches were formed in the latter part of the 19th century for the very purpose to preach sanctification and holiness as salvation.
Yes.
Salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other.
Yeah.
Now for us, for Christ's sanctified holy church, there was a group of people, there's about 50 of them so, who were attending a mainstream, I'm going to leave out names and denominations here for reasons, obvious reason, because that's not what's important here. Who attended a very mainstream church on a very remote island in the Eastern Shore of Virginia. I suspect these people had attended this church for a long, long time. It was their family church, their friends. It's where they met. It was a part of their life. Much like we all are. We're family. We're family of God. We're friends. We know each other. We've been here a while. Maybe not. This group of people was in the same situation. But a group of them felt led and sought and obtained salvation through sanctification.
Amen.
In their mainstream church, they were sanctified. So they got together and they asked their minister and their bishop to send them a preacher who would preach sanctification. That makes sense. That's what you believe. That's what you want to hear on the pulpit, right? That's what you want to hear. And it didn't happen. They were there for almost, if I remember correctly, almost 5 years in that situation. 5 years in that situation, in that mainstream church, attempting to bring that doctrine into that fellowship. And because of their inability to do that, they left the comforts of that congregation. They left their friends. They may have been attending that church for generations. Can you imagine? And they decided, we're going to need to found our own church. It was not an easy task. But on February the 14th, 1892, Christ Sanctified Holy Church was formed. The history is incredible, and I'm not going to take the time to go through all the history. But I do want to read you something, and I beg your indulgence in that. This is from a history book that Brother Harry and Brother Floyd wrote. But it tells me a little bit about what happened initially in those first generation of this organization. We praise the Lord for every effort and every person who has labored in the vineyard of the Lord over these years. Let me say, that is something I would like to say today to every person throughout these 127 years. We praise the Lord for every effort and every person who has labored in the vineyard of the Lord over these years.
Amen.
That's right. That's
right. We know that we now come to the promise in the word that says, I'll give you houses that you did not build, trees that you did not plant, vineyards you did not plant, wells you did not dig. The early sanctified people from Virginia, Maryland, and Delaware were the ones who laid the foundation for Christ Sanctified Holy Church. I say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
What vision, what ambition, what zeal. They moved forward, though they were buffeted by persecution, obstacles, and lack of financial resources.
Right.
How many of us wouldn't move without those things? Not laying any blame. I'm just asking a question.
Yeah.
With no highways or cars.
Yeah.
Or airplanes. Or an accessible railroads. The only means of transportation was by boat. Dependency on homemade houseboats powered by wind and sails. They had to be the most difficult mode of transportation in the world. Hard work, patience, trust in God, reliance on each other. Let me repeat that. Reliance on each other. I'm going to circle back to that in a minute. And pure faith had to be abundant for even survival.
Yes.
Where was their safety net? How secure is living on the surface of the water of sounds and rivers, creeks and bays on the Atlantic coast? Besides the elements of wind, rain, tides, cold and heat, what about the destructive people who would rob and beat and kill and pirate their unsecured material possessions? How much insurance did they have? Zero.
Amen.
They had assurance.
Yeah.
They didn't have insurance.
Yeah. Amen.
They had assurance. All was at risk every hour of the day and night. How could they possibly overcome their own doubts, fears, hunger, and desire for clothes and ease of entertainment enjoyed by the world?
Right.
Sanctified people endured all of these trials for the sake of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm sorry. They had the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had each other. Reliance on each other. They went from town and state to state, motivated by the desire to see others sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My question is, what has changed? We don't travel by boat. We don't travel by train much anymore, do we? We have cars. We can fly. We have telephones. Computers. We can get a message out in 10 seconds, can't we? But the message of the gospel, the ability to communicate, has never changed. I say, God help us in our time to do what we can to carry the gospel.
Amen.
I don't know what it is for you. I can't tell you. You'll have to work in your field of labor and figure out what God has for you. Only by calling on Him and seeking Him. If we will do that, He will lead us, just as He led those early people. If they had not... I thought about this. What if they had have stayed in that mainline church and just endured?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize that none of us would be here today?
Right.
This building would not be here.
Right.
None of us would be here.
Right.
None of us would be here.
Struck out.
I'm sorry. I'm emotional today. So, where are we?
Let me read you what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. You probably know what I'm getting ready to read. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. There's a lot out there, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Be careful. Be careful that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I'm sorry, I've taken too long. Let me read you one more place. I think it's important how we rely on each other. I believe this church preaches the gospel. Sometimes I shudder a little bit when I hear people say, we've got the gospel. Well, that's true in a sense.
Gospel better have us.
This is the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, we better preach the gospel.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Amen.
We better preach. If anybody tells you anything and it's not in here, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Now, we've got a message to take to the world, and we've got to figure out how to do that with God's help. But there is a certain amount of reliance on each other and each other's help.
Yes.
And it's a careful walk. I read recently, Jesus gave a parable. He said, you know, and I'll read it to you. It's in the 18th chapter of Luke. And he spake this parable, saying unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous.
Yeah.
You're not going to be righteous just by associating with this group of people. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Right.
It is not going to rub off on you. There's no currency. It's not nothing you can do. Be careful that we don't trust in ourselves.
Yeah.
That we're righteous. Just because we may have been here for decades and we've got connections and we think, oh, well, I'm okay, and I know you guys think I'm wonderful and I do all the right things and I'm here and I show up and I'm careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. It's not about what you do. It's about what happens on the inside.
Right.
Be careful. Let me just say today, I'm warning you. Be careful. So he was saying, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and a publican. Pharisee was a very religious man. You could see him in the streets. He had on the correct clothes. I'm sure they were very ornate. He probably had a mitre that he wore. He had the praise of men because he was doing all the right things. Right? He looked the part. He looked the part. So he goes in the temple to pray. I'm going to the temple to pray. What's wrong with that? That's great. And he stood and prayed thus to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. It's all right to be thankful that you're not like the world. That's okay. But don't let it be your badge of honor or your flag that you wave. Because this man thought it was so wonderful that he was not like other people. Oh, I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But I feel a sense of humility.
Yeah.
Thank God I am not as other men or extortioners. Talk about that publican now. Unjust, adulterers, even as this publican, this tax collector, this old thief. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. What does he say? I pay tithes of all I possess. I do this. I'm at the temple every Sabbath. I listen to the scriptures. I'm there. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Yeah. So it's careful, is it not?
Yes, it is.
How we walk, how we rely on each other, how we treat one another. I fear sometimes we may lose more people by running them away than we do by gaining them to seek the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. I know that's a difficult thing to say, but sometimes I think that is the case. But let me read you what the Apostle Paul says here in the last chapter of Acts. And this is the last thing I'll read from the Bible. Apostle Paul here is leaving Ephesus, and he is talking to these Ephesians, and he says, you know, I haven't kept back anything that's profitable. I've done everything to you. I've witnessed to you. He said, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock of God. That is a responsibility over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You overseers, listen to this, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The 32nd verse says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Inheritance. Among them that are sanctified. How many are glad for that inheritance this morning?
Amen.
I am glad for that inheritance.
Amen.
It's not anything. Nobody has left me in a will. But Jesus himself left me in his will.
Yes.
It's interesting. He knelt down to pray with them. And them folks were in tears. That just always moves me when I read that. I got one other thing I'm going to read. And I'm going to leave the pulpit. This is from our discipline. Never read it? Grab a copy. It'll help you. But I think if there's anything that this church stands on, it is this. And I apologize for taking so much time. This is from our discipline. Christ-sanctified Holy Church endeavors to uphold biblical truth, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to promote righteous conduct among its congregants and members.
Amen.
Christ-sanctified Holy Church's principles of doctrine and discipline are based on the divine authority of the Holy Bible.
Amen.
The doctrine of Christ-sanctified Holy Church is established on the faith that the Holy Bible, the King James Version, is the inspired word of God and contains a full revelation of the will of God in relation to man.
Yes.
That God is the creator, as Sister Flora was talking last night, an eternal father. That Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth, is in every way the Son of God.
Amen.
And that the Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth.
Amen.
We believe we are saved by grace and not by any of our own works. We believe in two separate and distinct works are required for salvation. Let me read that again. We believe two separate and distinct works are required for salvation. For the first work, we must be forgiven by God for our sins that we have committed. The second necessary work of grace is eradication of the sin nature from our soul through entire sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. The doctrines and discipline of Christ's sanctified Holy Church is intended to promote orderly conduct, to establish patterns of godly behavior, to provide practical guidance, and to uphold principles of propriety and morality.
Amen.
We endeavor to characterize the distinction between the church and the world and to sustain its influence and the integrity of God's gospel to man in the ever-changing opinions and behavior of contemporary society. Christ's sanctified Holy Church will continue to fulfill its scriptural obligation to promote the principles of holiness.
Amen.
And a godly life.
Amen.
To the righteous and unrighteous citizens of its fellowship and community. God help us.
Amen.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world.
That's right. Amen.
I desire your prayers.
Amen.